and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They go out to devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. I'd like to start this homily with an equation, which is a mathematical equation, to try to perhaps drive home that the math of God at a first glance doesn't make sense to the human, to the way we think of math, where 2 + 2 = 4, in God's eyes, at a first glance, it doesn't always seem that way, but it is. And the equation is, we've always heard, God is love. Hence, God equals love. And God equals or is his will. So whatever we experience in this life according to God's will, and his will of the present moment, his will of the past moment, and his will of the future moment, is in his hands. Which means that sometimes we plan and we do and we contrive or we kind of put in our minds how things should be, and we know well that the math doesn't add up. The math doesn't add up because Christ, which came as the Son of God, an unblemished lamb, suffered, was crucified, was murdered at the hands of sinners. Well, that doesn't add up. If you're good, good things have to happen. And the equation finishes that God is love and God is his will all in one, and that equals that we are to give all, for a diminutive a, small a, all, for all, capital A, which is God. And we must, as God oblates himself and offers himself on the cross, must follow the math of God and follow his will, as mysterious, as joyful, as peaceful, and as disturbing sometimes it may seem to us. We are to give to God what is God's, what belongs to him. We are dust, we came from dust, and we will go back to dust. We are not our own. We were purchased at a great price. We are to give to God our hearts, our minds, and our souls. It's the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. In the first reading, in the gospel reading, we hear of widowhood. Back in the day, if you were a widow, it meant destitution. You were destitute. You were a beggar. There was no way that you could get out of that. Women didn't work. Women worked hard at home. They worked, but they weren't the earners. So they were poor. And in the first reading, we hear that this poor widow and her son, she's a widow, they don't even have enough to make food for themselves. And Elijah says, bring me water and make me a cake. I need bread to eat. He is a prophet. He's working. He's pronouncing the word of God. And she says, I don't even have enough for to live, my son and I. Again, the math. He's asking well. The prophet picks well who he asks for this. A woman that has nothing to show and prove the power of God. That the math doesn't add up again. And the prophet says, for the Lord, understand that, do not be afraid. For the Lord of Israel, the God of Israel, will not allow your jar to go empty, nor your jug to go dry. Because in God's order is not our order. And in the gospel reading, the widow gives all she had, 2 cents, 2 coins, which amounted to very little. Again, she contributed everything she had for all. The poverty of the widows acts as a reminder that we are all poor in the eyes of our Lord. And it has nothing to do with money. Because as I said, since we came from nothing, we will go back to the earth. We depend on God for every breath, every heartbeat. We truly are poor and depend on God for everything. And it has nothing to do with our financial status. We have and we suffer the poverty of lack of health. The poverty of a stable mind, anxiety, worry. Where the next thing, what next thing can possibly happen to me or to someone else? The poverty of divorce. The poverty of betrayal. The poverty of being misunderstood. The poverty of old age. The poverty of wayward children that we, through the miracle of marriage, bring them into the world and they betray. They go a way that we never thought they would go. The poverty of loneliness and numerous other human conditions that sometimes we see people going through such sufferings. And ultimately, the poverty of death, of going back into the earth that we all have to go through. But God's equations and God's math always has an answer, and it is a good answer. It is a holy answer. It is an eternal answer. It is an answer that we can hang our existence on, and it brings great joy to the heart. And we find the first answer in the Beatitudes. But glory be to God for the Beatitudes, because in the first one is blessed are the poor in spirit, because of all these things, these poverties that I have mentioned, can sometimes we lose our confidence in life, and we're distraught, and we kind of are like shaken up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, financially. Not financially, that's neither here nor there, but poor in every conceivable situation. For the kingdom of God is theirs. Because it is in poverty that God can fill us. If we are filled with ourselves as the scribes were, and are filled with righteousness and self, and God can't work in that. And we know, and Paul states, that Christ emptied himself and became the form of a slave, becoming poor, that we may become rich in the right things, in the eternal things, in the things that lead to the answer in God's math. Not our math. Forget our math. Our brains are like a dust, speck of dust compared to the wisdom of God. My brothers and sisters, you see that God uses everything. The jar of the widow, the 2 cents, the 2 coins that the widow had. He uses every crumb of our life, every suffering, every mishap that we perhaps believe that it was a mishap, for our restoration and for our redemption. From the most insignificant events of our life, to the most alarming and distressing, to the most sublime, the most peaceful, the most joyful, it is all God's will. It is God that we love, it is His will that we love, They're interchangeable. When he comes to us, he doesn't come, we don't see him face to face. The only way we can see God is in what he permits in our lives. And it's not always good in our estimation. It isn't pretty in our estimation because our math is earthly, but his is not. And so God works his math. God is love, and he allows himself to be empty and become poor on the cross, in the crucifixion, and where he goes, or where he went, we must follow. If we don't understand that, then we don't understand why the church exists, why the sacraments are here to strengthen us, to see in the details of our lives the smallest speck of the glory of God, as the prophet saw, and as the widow said, "I only have two coins, but I am going to give all because God will provide." And so, regarding the love of God, it is our responsibility, our calling, to fix our love on God and to focus on him and let the dust settle with the peace that comes from that. It's not easy. Tribulation, suffering. But it's the only way God shows us. How do we fix our love on God? Love on God. So I was YouTubing on Padre Pio, saying Padre Pio, you know, was a stigmatist. The stigmata are the five wounds of Christ. Two in the feet, the hands, one on the side. And there have been many, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Jenna Galgani. The most famous one is St. Francis of Assisi. But the first ordained priest to be a stigmatist was Padre Pio from Bettina in Italy. The first priest. St. Francis of Assisi had the stigmata, but he was a deacon. So this man, he died in 1968. Most of us were alive. And there's so much YouTube footage on him. And you can see his stigmata. And it was predicted that he would have the stigmata for 50 years. And at his last mass, the stigmata disappeared. And you can see on the footage from before the stigmata, you see that it's not there. Black and white, 1960 type of film. And so I came across a sermon on him on divine love. On divine love. It is so beautiful. And you hear his voice. This is a saint. We have his voice. We have this the saint. And he states that we must consider ourselves honored, privileged, that God didn't limit himself not only to just to create us, but he calls us to love him. He could have created us in the way he creates a horse and a worm or a cat. They exist and they give glory to God, but they don't know that I must love God. I am to be thankful for God for what he has done. He has elevated our intellect. He has elevated our being to be like his and calls us to love him. And St. Padre Pio, when he states, he says, this is a bad example of success himself in the homily. He states, we should feel honored like we feel honored when an illustrious woman permits us to love her, or a man, a beautiful woman, or somebody that attracts us that says, come love me because I love you. It is what happens in marriage. The beauty of a woman allowing the man to become her groom and her husband. You feel elated that this woman loves me, that this man loves me. And that is what the love of God, he allows us to love him, to raises us up, and not only to love him, but to be like him and to share his very nature forever and ever. And that is what the saints did. They give all for all. That's what the widow does. They give all for all because they see that no matter what situation they are, God loves them. And so my brothers and sisters, I'll close with this. The adoration of God lasts forever. It gives joy to the heart. Our place in heaven begins now. And we're about to say in the Our Father, we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. St. Teresa of Avila states that there's no difference between the will of God that the person, the man or woman is doing now than that it will do in heaven. So we have a choice. We start now embracing our life with everything that comes to us without grumbling. We suffer, we fail, we sin, and we pick up ourselves and trust in the mercy of God. I leave you with St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians that I alluded to. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Let us love our God. Let us, because of these truths that we have just reflected on, let us allow our hearts to soar to him, to fly to him, to be bold men and women, to love, to be saints, to be crucified saints, and to live our passion now, and to live his glory with him forever.